the fold. Sing that fourth verse again, and as we do so, we're going to ask our brother Wesley McCauley if he'll come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer, please. There is a book whose pilgrim songs.
Let's all bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we bow with humility and reverence in thy presence tonight at the very commencement of our midweek meeting. And Lord, we just thank you for the message that is old yet ever new. Lord, we thank you for the message of the gospel that spoke to so many of us that are gathered here tonight and brought us unto thee. No, Lord, we come before thee tonight and we realize that we are sinners. There is none of us righteous, no, not one. And yet, Lord, we thank thee for the access that we have into the presence of the most holy, wonderful, wise God. No, Lord, we come not on our own merits, but we thank you, Lord, that we come through the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for Calvary and for that time, Lord, when he went to the cross and he suffered and he bled in our stead And, O Lord, on this Good Friday, when we remember, Lord, the death of our Saviour, O Lord, we thank you that we are saved because of the cross. And, O Lord, as we think of the resurrection, we rejoice that tonight you're alive. You rose again. You're no longer in the grave. And you're sitting at the right hand of God the Father, continually making intercession for us. And Lord, as we come as a people tonight to worship thee and to seek thy face, and we pray that thou wilt bless us. We pray for our brother who has come to minister unto us tonight and to tell us of the work of TBS. Lord, we just pray that thou wilt bless him. O Lord, that as we learn of the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society, Lord, we pray that we'll be challenged, we'll be spoken to, and we'll be enabled to pray more earnestly even for that work. And so, Lord, in for every aspect of the meeting, we ask thy blessing to be upon us tonight. And Lord, we'll be careful to give thee all the praise, the honour, and the glory for all that thou dost do. Amen.
Thank you, Wesley. Can we turn to hymn number 672? There is a call, come ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, there are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Can we give you one and all a warm and friendly word of welcome to our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study, which has taken the form of a deputation meeting for the Trinitarian Bible Society this evening. We want to welcome all who are gathered and those of our worldwide audience who tune in on Sermon Audio, Facebook and YouTube. As you know, our pastor is away in Romania at the moment. He is preaching at a conference. He's a very, very busy agenda through from the 26th of March to the 2nd of April. Please pray for our pastor as he works amongst the Roma people and the poor families, and also ministers the word each evening to Christian workers and pastors. Tomorrow evening commences the Easter Convention at the Martyrs Memorial Church. It is the youth rally tomorrow evening, and of course the students from our Whitfield College of the Bible will be there. The youth council choir will also be singing, and the preacher on that occasion will be the principal of the Bible College, the Reverend Timothy Nelson. Youth Fellowship will be attending that service tomorrow evening, and the buses will be leaving here at 6:45. And then, of course, the convention continues over the weekend. On Saturday at 7:30 is the missionary rally, and again, we would encourage as many as possible to return back on Saturday evening. Various missionary reports will be brought, and the preacher on that occasion is Dr. John McKnight from Maryland in the United States of America. The big day, of course, is Bank Holiday Monday, the 1st of April. Convention rally will be at 7 p.m. and the preacher will be Dr. John McKnight again. Singers from Macrofelt Free Presbyterian Church, and there will be a kids club run during the meeting. Services this Lord's Day will commence at 8 a.m. for the early morning time of prayer. We have the Sabbath school at 10:30, and then the Bible class at 10:45, and our brother Stephen Fletcher has kindly consented to come along, and he's dealing with the subject parallels in the gospel. The worship service will take place at 12 noon, and we're delighted that our Hebron choir will be singing on that occasion, and the preacher will be the minister from our Randallstown congregation, the Reverend Gary Goods. The gospel service takes place at 7 p.m. Again, the Hebron choir will be singing. The preacher will be Mr. Jonathan Whiteside from our Port of Ogie congregation. And we will have a time of prayer half an hour prior to the gospel service at 6:30. And so there has been an advertisement that has been produced for you to send out to family and friends on social media. Please send this out to as many as you can and encourage them to come along and join with us. There will be refreshments served after the evening service, and again we would encourage the ladies of the congregation to bring half a loaf of sandwiches and a dozen buns, please. And then next Thursday, on the 4th of April, we're going to have this new film production played in the hall at the rear of the church, commemorating the life, the witness, the testimony of our dear brother, Dr. Bill Woods. Of course, the production is called Do Something, and on that occasion, Pastor Victor Maxwell will be along to introduce that film. Our family night service takes place on Sunday, the 7th of April at 7 p.m. It says 8 p.m. there, but it's 7 p.m. And on that occasion, one of our church deacons, our brother Ivor Buick, will be coming along and bringing a personal word of testimony. I heard Ivor's testimony recently when he gave his testimony in our Cumber congregation, and so I would encourage as many as possible to come along and again support our brother. We do have this advert again to encourage family and friends to come in and to hear this personal word of testimony at our family night service. And then immediately after the service, the following day, we commence our Bible conference here from Monday the 8th of April through to Friday the 12th of April. It's at 8 p.m. each evening. The preacher will be the Reverend Roger Higginson, and of course everyone is welcome. The life that counts is the subject that our brother will be taking on that occasion. and he's different topics for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. And again, we would encourage you to come along and to bring family and friends also. Before we hand over to the Reverend Dennison, we're just going to sing one more hymn here. Hymn number 294. Oh, teach me what it meaneth, that cross uplifted high, with one the man of sorrows condemned to bleed and die. Oh, teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole, and teach me, Saviour, teach me the value of a soul. We are delighted to have with us this evening the Reverend Craig Dennison. He's no stranger to us in Free Presbyterian circles. Our brother did serve the Lord in one of our congregations out there in Scotland, and he then felt led of the Lord to take up the work in the Trinitarian Bible Society. Trinitarian Bible Society was founded in 1831 with the principal aim of promoting the glory of God and to increase the kingdom of God by circulating the scriptures throughout the nations of the world. It was in 2019 that our brother was appointed to be the deputation speaker throughout the nation for the Trinitarian Bible Society, and so we welcome him to the pulpit here in Hebron, and we trust that God will richly bless him now as he shares the work and ministry of the Trinitarian Bible Society.
Well, can I thank Mr. Moffat for the words of welcome? It's a pleasure to be with you here again. I don't know if Mr. Moffat remembers, but when I was converted back in 2004, I was living in Nottingham in England, and there was no Free Presbyterian churches near there. So I travelled all the way across England to Liverpool, and Mr. Moffat was the preacher in Liverpool that night, and I enjoyed him so much I went back the following week. I travelled a couple of hours across there. But then as a student, I realised how much it was costing me in petrol, so I had to cut an end to that and find a local church in Nottingham. But it's amazing to think 20 years later, here we are sharing the pulpit together. But I bring greetings to you from the Trinitarian Bible Society, and thank you for your interest and for your prayerful support of our work. And tonight I'm going to share with you a little bit, and I can only share a little bit of the great work that we are engaged in. In fact, since the last time I was with you 3 years ago, the work of the Society has increased and multiplied, and we have taken on many more new projects, which we give thanks to God for. But we're going to begin in Scripture, and we're turning to Acts chapter 2 just for a few moments here tonight. Acts chapter 2, reading from the verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and there suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed, and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us tonight. It's those words of verse 6 I'd like you to think upon tonight. Every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, the day of Pentecost was a marvelous day. There in Jerusalem, you had people gathered from every nation under heaven, speaking a multitude of different languages. And here we see the desire and will of God for his word to go out to reach these needy souls. I don't need to expound this tonight, but the gift of tongues was the ability to speak in another language. That truth is very clear from the passage before us. How hear we every man speak in our own tongue, our own language? So the gift of tongues was the supernatural apostolic gift the apostles had to immediately know another language and to speak it. The sort of gift that you and I wish we had when we came to do our GCSE French or German. But it was a gift the apostles had to suddenly know another language. But notice here tonight about men hearing the word of God in their own language. Three things to leave with you. First of all, think of the revealing of God's word in their own language. It doesn't say that God caused all those people to understand the language of the apostles. It doesn't say that. It says that they heard in their own language. God has never limited salvation to one language group. We can look at the Old Testament, and Hebrew was the language of the Jewish people. But God never limited salvation to those who could speak Hebrew. Think of when God sent Jonah to Nineveh. In Nineveh, they would have spoke the Aramaic language. Jonah most likely would have preached in the Aramaic language, and people who heard the preaching in Aramaic were converted to faith in God. And so here it is on the day of Pentecost. It is the express will of God and the express desire of God that these people from these different countries hear God's word in their own language. Now, some people have good intentions, and they ask a question and say, well, why don't we focus our efforts on teaching people English so that they can understand the English Bible? And that might be a good and noble venture, and in some cases that might be profitable. But you never understand things perfectly in a second language. That is why you need it in your first language. But we see here that the pattern on the day of Pentecost for the future work of the church is to bring God's word to the people in their own language. So the revealing of God's word in their own language. Secondly, notice the response to God's word in their own language. First of all, they were attentive. Verse 6 says it was noised abroad. They came together. There was an assembling of people. They heard scripture in their language, and they gathered to hear what the apostles were preaching. And they were not only attentive, they were amazed. Verse 6 says they were confounded. Verse 7 says they were amazed and marveled. So God's word was beginning to have an impact on them. I don't know about you, but whenever I go on holiday, you get so used to all the signs being in Spanish or French or something like that, that whenever you see something in English, your eyes are immediately drawn to read it because it's in your language. Now, it might be instructions for a life jacket or something like that, but you'll read it because it's in your own language. And so here these people in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, they're amazed, their ears are pricked to hear something in their own language. But it's not just something, it's the most powerful message that there ever is. It's the message of the gospel. It's the message of Christ and Him crucified. It's the message of the risen Lord. This is the message that they are hearing, and they're amazed. And they acknowledge in verse 11 that it is the wonderful works of God. They don't marvel and say, what a wonderful preacher those apostles are. What a good way they have with themselves. What excellent mannerisms. No, they acknowledge that this is God. This is the work of God. And thirdly, notice the results of God's word in their own language. Well, first of all, there's conviction. In verse 37, they're pricked in their heart. God's word being preached in their language is bringing conviction. And ultimately, that's what God's word is intended to do, to show sinners their sin, not to entertain them, not to amuse them, but to convict them, to show them the guilt of their sin and their crimes before God. So conviction came when the word came in their own language. And there was not only conviction, there was conversion. Verse 41, it speaks of those who received the word. That is, they believed the gospel of Christ. They believed in the Savior of sinners. They were converted. Their hearts were opened. We're told the number was around 3,000 souls. Now you imagine that multitude squeezed into your church here tonight, stretching out into the car park. And then see that they're from every nation under heaven, speaking a multitude of different languages from different corners of the world, and the Lord has swept them all into His kingdom. But there wasn't only conviction and conversion, there was consecration. We don't have time to look at it, but they were baptized, verse 41. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, verse 42. They didn't just put up their hand and profess faith in Christ and go back to their sin in their life. No, they continued in the Word of God that came to them. They sat and they studied, they learned more, they gave themselves to know the Word of the Lord. They continued in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, verse 42. And then verse 47 says they continued in praising God. So what we have on the day of Pentecost is the pattern that the church is to continue to practice. We're to continue to take the word of God to needy souls in their own language. But how has the church been faring in this mission over the last 2,000 years? Well, it's estimated that 20% of the world have no Bible in their first language. That one fifth of the world do not have a complete Bible in their first language. Furthermore, that's around 6,650 languages that have no complete Bible. And that represents about 90% of the world's languages. Now, yes, there's Bibles in major languages like English and Mandarin and Spanish and French and so forth. But for some of those smaller tribal languages spoken by tens, hundreds of thousands of people, maybe a million people, many of them are still waiting a complete Bible in their own language. Now, some maybe have a portion of Scripture. They maybe have a New Testament or a Gospel of John. So they are Bible-less, but they're not entirely Scriptureless. Now, some people will say, well, as long as they've got the New Testament, that's all they really need. But is it? How can you understand the New Testament fully without the Old? Take, for example, the words of John the Baptist. And I remember preaching these words from this pulpit at the ordination of Armin Tomasian, when John the Baptist said the words, "Behold the Lamb of God." How could somebody who only has the New Testament understand that? They can't, because the whole of the Old Testament reveals Christ to be the Lamb of God. So they need the Old Testament to fully understand the New Testament. For them to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they need the Word of God. So please continue to pray that the Lord would raise up translators who will translate the Holy Scriptures into the 6,650 languages that are still awaiting a complete Bible. But it's not enough that we just translate the Bible and that we have it sitting in our warehouse. We need laborers to go forth and to take the Word of God out to these needy souls. Because we can translate the Bible, we can print it, but we need the Lord to raise up laborers to go and work in the harvest field and to take His Word forward. Well, may the Lord bless these words to us here tonight. Well, in the presentation tonight, there's a few things I'd like to cover with you, and we'll begin with Scripture publications. And this map will give you a bit of an indication as to the wide scale of the work of the TBS. I do have a book table with me here tonight with various booklets on it, including this map. It's inside this little leaflet. If you'd like to take a copy and put it in your Bible and pray for these translations, we would be most grateful. But we have 54 projects that are currently ongoing. And if I was to take even 1 minute and speak of each project here tonight, it would fill nearly an hour. That is the depth of the work that is going on. Some of these projects are for major languages, and some are for tribal languages. Now, there are some people that have contacted us in the past, and they have sadly reported that they have approached other Bible societies about doing a translation for their language, and they've been rejected. And they've been told that their language is too small, it's too insignificant, it's not worth the time and effort and labor of a Bible society to translate a Bible for a few thousand or hundreds of thousands of people. Well, dear friend, we don't believe that should be the case at all. Samuel Rutherford said that his heaven would be two heavens if he could take one soul with him. And if we invest years of labor into translating a Bible for one of these tribal languages and only one person is converted, we could say that our heaven would be two heavens to see one soul brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But most of these languages are spoken by significant numbers of people. Generally, whenever we do translation, we start with the Gospel of John. It's the easiest gospel in the Greek language to translate. So translators work on it. We then print it and start to circulate it while they continue working on the rest of the New Testament. Once the New Testament is complete, then they work on the Old Testament and we have a complete Bible. We're glad to report that this year and stretching into next year, there are 28 Gospels of John that are to be printed. 12 of these are for a country which is deemed high risk. We can't publish what it is. But it's remarkable to think that 28 of these languages will be receiving Scripture, some of them for the first time. Others, they have the Scripture in those languages, but we are working on improving those translations to make them more accurate, more reliable, and to conform to the Hebrew Masoretic Old Testament and the Greek Textus Receptus New Testament. We also have 4 New Testaments that we are due to print for the first time. The Dan language is spoken by the Dan tribe in Liberia. They're also known as the Geo tribe and the Geo language. And we are hoping to work with some of our missionary, the Free Presbyterian missionaries out there, to make that translation wider known. We've also done a revision of the Hebrew New Testament for Hebrew speakers in Israel and other places where Hebrew is spoken, the Collegian for Kenya and the Qom for Manipur in India. And then we have 4 Bibles that are due to be printed, the Chichewa for Malawi and Zambia, the Tetum Zokim for India, the Vaipei and the Zao for the Manipur regions of India. And India is one of those countries. We could be here all night reporting on the wonderful things that God is doing there. But there's a large number of translation projects for India. And we're glad to report that the Lord is continuing to raise up translators for that needy country. And one of the Free Presbyterian missionaries over there, Dipankar Nandi, who I believe you're very familiar with, is involved with the TBS in the work of translating the Hindi New Testament, and we greatly appreciate his labours in this project. In the summer of last year, we launched our revision of the Spanish Bible. Now, we began this work back in 2006, because the Spanish language changes a lot more dramatically than the English, and there's a lot of out-of-date words and phrases. But also, most of the modern Spanish Bibles are translated from the modern critical texts, the same texts that the NIV and ESV and Good News Bible are translated from. So they're missing verses and parts of verses, and have some wrong renderings as well. So we've begun to work on the Spanish Bible. It was completed last summer, and we launched it in Colombia. We booked a hotel for the launch that would hold 550 people. Within 2 days of announcing the launch service, all the seats had been reserved for that meeting. We had to have a second night, and it was held in a local church, and over 450 people came to that meeting. So within 2 days of launching our Spanish Bible, we had over 1,000 people at our meetings. We have held meetings in various countries where Spanish is spoken. We've held meetings to launch the Spanish Bible in Colombia, Chile, Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala, Bolivia, Peru, and of course, Spain. And the response has been breathtaking. We have had excellent feedback. Many people are saying they now understand the Old Testament because of our translation. They're saying that there's better symmetry between the Old Testament and New Testament. They're able to understand doctrine more clearly through our translation. We printed 60,000 copies of the Spanish Bible, and they have all practically been distributed. These are some photos from where launches have been held. This is Mariela. She has been our distribution coordinator in Latin America since 2010. She is from Bolivia. She established a distribution center there, and she has built up our network of distribution centers throughout Latin America for circulating the gospel and the New Testament and now the Bible. At the start of this year, she moved to Colombia to establish a new distribution center in Colombia. And she was telling us a couple of weeks ago that there is now such a demand for our Spanish Bible that she's had to start a waiting list, that we can't get it printed quick enough. She was saying that some pastors are phoning up asking not just for one Bible or even a box of Bibles. She said some pastors are requesting pallets of Bibles. Wouldn't it be tremendous if there was such a demand for Bibles here in Ballymoney that your pastor had to request a pallet of Bibles to be sent to him? This is what's happening in South America. South America is experiencing a reformation. Many people are leaving the darkness of Roman Catholicism, and they're seeking out the true Word of God. And they're not looking at these modern versions that have been tainted with Romanism and liberalism. They're seeking the pure Word of God. And I don't know if you noticed from some of those pictures that flashed up, but whenever we hold conferences, they're attended by hundreds of people. And there's an awful lot of young people who are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ and coming to faith in him. And like those noble Bereans, they are searching the scriptures and they're hungering after the Word of God. We sent 5,000 Spanish Bibles to Cuba. There's a huge interest in the Word of God in Cuba. If you think of Cuba, if there's any country in the world that should really be an atheist country, it should be Cuba. For many years, Christianity was banned. It's an isolated country just out there in the middle of the ocean by itself. And they tried to stop the gospel in Cuba, and yet they couldn't. And today, Cuba is experiencing a high demand for scripture. And we're able to get the Word of God now into Cuba. So please pray for the continued interest in our Spanish Bible. Please pray that it will continue to see fruit as a result of its circulation. In December 2022, we launched the Amharic New Testament. Now, Amharic is a language spoken in Ethiopia. They also speak it in Eritrea, the little country just to the north of Ethiopia, and it's spoken in several other countries as well where there are some Amharic speakers found. Ethiopia is the main language. It has a population of around 118 million people. There are 88 different languages spoken in Ethiopia. But Amharic, spoken by roughly 57 million people, about half of those as a first language, the rest as a second language. Amharic is the main language. It's the language of the government and the language of commerce. Whenever we were due to launch our Amharic New Testament, our lead translator asked for a meeting of the leading evangelicals in Ethiopia. And remarkably, about 70 of them came out. And he told them about all the mistakes and the problems in their current Amharic Bibles and why we have produced ours. And he was expecting a bit of a fiery backlash, but there wasn't. In the end, one of the men stood up and said, "We cannot disagree with anything that you have said about the current Bibles, about the mistakes and the errors and inaccuracies. And if your New Testament is as good as you tell us, you will have our full support." So at our first service in Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia, there were around 2,000 people came out to that meeting. And they didn't come because the TBS are famous there. To my knowledge, we've never been in Ethiopia before. We've never had any presence there. News spread about our translation. We had to arrange four more services that month, so there were five held in the month of December 2022. I was asked to go out for one of the services in a city called Debre Berhan, about 4 hours north of Addis Ababa, and around 500 people came out to that meeting. Some people travelled hours in a bus just to be at the meeting and to hear about our New Testament. This is our lead translator addressing the meeting. Everybody who came to a service received a free copy of the Amharic New Testament. That wasn't the end of it. In spring 2023, we had to arrange four more meetings in Ethiopia. And again, thousands of people came out to these meetings. At some of these meetings, people were having to sit on the floor or stand around the walls at the back of the room because there wasn't enough seats for everybody. At one of the meetings, we had only taken 1,000 New Testaments. Imagine, we'll only take 1,000. There'll not be more than 1,000 people there. Well, there was over 1,250 people came to that meeting. And sadly, some people left without a copy of the New Testament. The Ethiopians have a huge hunger for the Word of God at the moment. One of my directors mentioned to me recently that the growth rate of Christianity in Ethiopia at the minute is currently sitting at 9%. Dear friends, if the growth rate of Christianity in Northern Ireland was sitting at 9%, we'd consider it to be revival. But that's what's happening in Ethiopia. The Ethiopians are not just coming out to the meetings because they want a free copy of the New Testament. Many of them want to be involved in distributing Scripture, believing it is the power of God unto salvation to share the gospel of Christ in the printed form. So around 200 Ethiopians have joined the society as a member. Anybody can become a member as long as you agree with our principles. You can become a member. 200 have become members because they want to see the Word of God grow in Ethiopia. I was speaking to some of them, and they don't want to be just receiving shipments of Bibles sent over from America or from Europe. They want to see a warehouse in Ethiopia. They want to see a printing press. They want to see Scripture flowing through Ethiopia and into the other countries of Africa. These are men who have a tremendous vision to see the Word of God go forth with power in their own country. So I went back to Ethiopia last December for a public meeting with our members there. And there were people who traveled several hours again to be at this meeting. And we spent most of the day together sitting under the ministry of the Word of God. And it was a pleasure to meet these souls with fire and hunger to circulate Scripture. A Christian businessman has very generously given us an office that we can use as our distribution center in Addis Ababa. And he has provided it rent-free. We don't have to pay anything. And that is going to be our office, our first on the continent of Africa. We've been able to employ a lady, Tika. She used to work teaching science in the university. She gave up that job to come and minister and to do our administration work for our organization in Ethiopia. So do continue to pray for this work. There's more meetings planned in Ethiopia this year. Since we have done the Amharic New Testament, some other languages have contacted us in Ethiopia saying, can you do the Bible for us in our language? We started off by sending 10,000 New Testaments to Ethiopia. We have now sent a total of 85,000. We can't keep up with the demand that there is. So there's more meetings in the spring planned, God willing. I have to go back for 2 weeks in December this year. We plan to do even more meetings in different parts of Ethiopia. And it's refreshing to see that the hunger there is for the Word of God. I was asked to preach at a church on the Lord's Day. They told me to preach as long as I wanted. So I took them at their word and I preached as long as I wanted. And then all the lights went off and the microphone went dead. And I thought it was my cue to stop. And they said, hold on, brother, we'll put more diesel in the generator and the top the generator up and they'll let me go again for another while. But there's a huge hunger and passion for the Word of God in Ethiopia. So do pray for our brethren there. They would greatly appreciate your prayers. Just some brief news and updates to finish with here tonight. We distribute scripture in two ways. It's one thing to translate the Bible and to get it printed, but that's only part one. Part two is getting it distributed. We sell scripture to those who can afford to pay for it. If churches can pay for it, that is tremendous, because proceeds from our sales go into our grant fund that enables us to give away scripture. Over the last 2 years, we've sold over 4 million items, and we have given grants of over 3 million items. Last year alone, our scripture went out to 112 countries in around 40 different languages. And those numbers are set to increase in the coming year. Last summer, I went to Australia and took some meetings in Australia, around 20 meetings. And one of the churches I was asked to speak at was an Aboriginal church. Now, the Aboriginal people are deemed the indigenous people of Australia, and the Aboriginal culture is really intertwined with their own religion. And many of them believe in ancestor worship and worshipping nature, but the gospel has come to some in the Aboriginal communities, and I was blessed to speak at this church, and I'm pictured here with Pastor Kelly and one of the elders, along with Philip Gardner, our minister in Perth, and another brother, Alan, who's a member of the TBS board in Australia. And Pastor Kelly was reporting that whenever he goes and does missions in Aboriginal communities, many people are hearing the name of Jesus Christ for the first time, never having heard the precious name of Jesus ever before. And he says they can spend weeks in an area and they can share the gospel with them. And quite often the Lord moves and people come to faith in Christ. He was telling us that they can go on mission trips and fill the car with scripture and come back with absolutely nothing. There's a hunger for the Word of God, even amongst those who've never heard the name of Christ before. So even in Western countries, there are still those who've never even heard the name of Jesus Christ. So do pray for the work amongst the Aboriginal people in Australia. Back to Africa. One of our grantees in Senegal recently received 200 Arabic Bibles and 100 Arabic New Testaments. Senegal is a predominantly Muslim country, but there's an interest in the Word of God. There's a demand for the Word of God. And Christians are having opportunities with their Muslim neighbors to share the gospel. And we're seeing this repeated in other Muslim countries throughout Africa and the Middle East as well. So do pray for those Christians who are very bravely, in some cases, risking their lives to make Christ known to their lost and perishing neighbors. Finally here, part of the ministry of the TBS is to reach out to prisons. One of our directors was recently invited to a prison, and whenever he was there, he was able to share in a Bible study with 8 men, 2 of whom had been converted in prison while reading the Bible. As they read God's word, they came to saving faith in Christ. A pastor told me recently that he has a friend who spent many years in a maximum security prison in a cell by himself for 23 hours a day. All he had with him was a Bible. So he read it through, and he read it through again, and he read it through again, and then he was saved. And that man today, he's out of prison, still going on with the Lord. And apparently he has a phenomenal knowledge of Scripture because he just spent so many hours a day reading God's Word. Last year alone, the TBS sent 10,000 scriptural items to prisons in the United Kingdom. I spent a day in McGilligan Prison. I hadn't done anything wrong, but I spent a day in McGilligan Prison last year. We did a Bible display and information day for the prisoners, and about 40 or 50 came off, of them came in, and about 9 or 10 really good conversations were had with some of the inmates. So do pray for the prison ministry as we get God's Word into the prisons. Well, that brings an end to my part here tonight. Can I thank you for your continued interest in the work of the TBS? Can I thank you for taking us upon your heart and praying for us? And do remember to take copies of our magazines and literature there, and do continue to pray for the work. I'll hand back to Mr. Moffat. Thank you.
Well, can we thank the Reverend Dennison? Only eternity itself will prove the real value and worth of what the Trinitarian Bible Society has done over these many, many years of reaching the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we come to our time of prayer, perhaps we could just sing one other hymn, hymn 190. Hungry Lord, for thy word of truth, sitting at my Saviour's feet, rising, gleaning, just like Ruth, feed me on the finest of the wheat. As we come to our time of prayer, please remember the work and witness of the Trinitarian Bible Society and the work they're not only doing here in the United Kingdom, but throughout the length and breadth of the world. Of course, this is our night for praying for missionary work and revival, and so please remember those who are serving the Lord on the foreign field. And please pray that the Lord might be pleased not only to visit them, but to visit us with a mighty Holy Ghost, heaven-sent sky blue revival. Please remember those who are on our prayer list, and it's forever growing, the prayer list. You have all the names before you there. We have been praying for quite some time for James from Dungannon. James has been involved in a car accident. He was unconscious for many, many months, and his progress has been very slow, but his parents do appreciate the prayerful support of the people of God here in Hebron. Tomorrow is a big day for James. James was very attached to a dog that he had, and tomorrow they're going to bring the dog into to see James, and they're going to have the surgeons there. They're going to have those who are looking after his medical well-being on that occasion, just to see whether they can glean any reaction from James. So please pray that the Lord might move and continue to bless this young lad and raise him to a full measure of health and strength. We want to bid those who have been joining us this evening a fond farewell as we now come to the throne of grace in prayer. We trust that you too will remember in the comfort of your own homes the work and witness of the Trinitarian Bible Society.